All right, we're going to roll right into the work session. At this time, we'll call the work session into order. We'll do hands taken roll as we speak. First item is the Metropolitan Airport Commission's assessments. Who's on that one?
Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. So this is an issue that's been bumping along since 2018.
Yeah.
As my memo lays out, Mac had reached out to the city in October of 2018, raising questions regarding assessments that were imposed on their properties, indicating that they essentially, because they're an instrumentality of the state, they're subject to the statute that allows them to determine their own level of benefit from an assessment. So you get to tell them what you think the benefit is, and then they get to look at it and make their own determination. You know, thank you for your opinion, city, but we determine X, you know, we benefited by a certain amount. We responded, Mark responded, I assisted him with that response 8 days later saying, you know, we don't see it that way. We need more information. In fact, if you look at the Met Council, you're a political subdivision, you're not an instrumentality of the state. At the time, the Attorney General's opinion, I didn't have a copy of it. And if you look at just the summary, it says they're subject to special assessments. The little summary of the opinion says they're subject to special assessments. We didn't hear anything back from that letter. Basically, we kind of pushed back a little bit saying, we don't quite see it that way. So we didn't hear anything back from them until much more recently. And so earlier this year, we got a letter. And I think what spurred that is that the county issued a forfeiture notice that the airport's being forfeited. And so that spurred a little bit of action.
I'm sure they didn't laugh.
Yeah. And so then we met and Mark and I met with them, their attorney and some of their staff members on July 6th of this year. And I mean, I thought it was a cordial meeting. You know, they explained where they were coming at. We explained where we were coming at. We'd since looked at the AG's opinion, which says they're an instrumentality under, ironically, an opinion issued to the city of Crystal back in 1964 or something like that. And so we did put it back to them a little bit. It is like, well, how do you come up with this determination of benefit? Because what this all relates to are three assessments. One was for it was a county project, but the county, as part of its project, worked on a city frontage road. And so the city had assessed MAC $176,505 for that project, which their response is, the county and MAC entered into a joint powers agreement where MAC gave certain easement rights for the construction of the project in exchange for making it clear that MAC didn't have to pay anything for that. There's an argument from the city's perspective above, I don't care what you two agreed to, you know, we still have the right to assess. So that's why I said in my memo, I don't see that argument as being particularly strong against the city because we weren't a party to that. But regardless, we still, the baseline question is, are they an instrumentality that have the authority to make up their own mind as to what the benefit of the project is? So that was one project. Then there was a phase 16 that resulted in a $203,784 assessment for the Douglas Drive North improvements, and then a $98,585 improvement for 60th Avenue North. And during our meeting, they said, we determined as MAC that we're not benefited at all by the Douglas Drive North. So just zero on that. They agreed with the 60th Avenue, so the 98,000, and then zero again on that, on the frontage road for the 176. So adding the two together that they say that there's no benefit to comes to $380,289 of assessments that they are requesting the city vacate. And then we received a letter from the county indicating we're not going to assess you know, essentially we're not going to pursue this against the MAC property, because presumably they too agree that they're an instrumentality and have the power to determine their own level of benefit. So I wanted to raise this with you. We've had this request from MAC. Frankly, from a legal perspective, I think there's some arguments we could make if you really wanted to throw money at this and try to bring some sort of action against them. My concern would be that ultimately we wouldn't be successful in that, because the statute says they determine their level of, you know, how much they're benefited, and their argument could be, we could argue that zero is really zero in a benefit for Douglas Drive and things like that. But, you know, if you're spending $30,000 to maybe find a $15,000 benefit, ultimately you're, you know, money lost, further money lost. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not advocating any sort of legal action to try to get clarity on this. I don't like our chances of success. I don't think from cost benefit analysis. But that's my opinion. You certainly could say, I don't care, Troy, let's go after it. And we will. Otherwise, it really is up to the council. I raise this. They're requesting vacation of those two assessments. And so if the direction from the council is, yeah, I think, you know, this is where we're at. The county is not supporting the city's position. And frankly, if you think about it, if we did try to make any sort of assertion, like push this against MAC, they would, from their perspective, that would be an all stops pulled fight against, because if they lost here, they would lose everywhere. And so that would be a huge fight for them. So they would really dig in against that, would be my assessment. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. And I know Mark has lots of opinions on this.
I'm thinking of a connection for the railroad, and I'm thinking, yeah, maybe we don't want to go that route.
Right.
Can we put barricades up on the Douglas Drive access, since they don't need that?
We have a plan, yes. I would just offer, the biggest thing to realize with this is the implications are the by area largest property holder in the city will, the only way they fund city operations is through utility bills. So if nothing else, I'd like you to leave with that thought, because that's basically what it is.
Basically, what is
the only contribution that MAC has towards our infrastructure costs, towards operation of the city, is what they pay in utility bill fees. They don't pay property tax. They can't be special assessed. So
where do the utilities come into their property?
The hangars and then the control tower.
Well, I know that's where they go. Where do they come in? Do they come off a stand, or do they come off a
It's actually both.
Douglas.
So it's actually Brooklyn Park as well. So the hangars in the northeast corner come from Brooklyn Park. The ones on the, let's call it the west side, come off 60th and Douglas a little bit. And then from the south for like the hangar and, I'm sorry, the tower and those hangars on the south side.
So when it goes to going under the street, we would have an argument, like under Douglas. I mean, if they have utility access, when we redo that at some point in time, we could assess for that.
Well, we can't. We can't special assess, is the conversation here today. So, and because we don't.
Well, I think the catch is not whether we can or can't. Is there any benefit to them?
Right.
And the benefit, if they had utilities coming from Douglas, that would sidestep that.
So, yeah. So the way that would work is basically what they're paying for in utility fee revenue, just like every other resident in the city, is how we're funding our utility reconstruction projects. However, should note, $300,000 of those projects come out of the street maintenance fund, which comes from property tax, which they don't pay. So,
oh no, I'm feeling very similar. not very happy. Sorry.
So, and yeah, go ahead, Troy.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I like your train of thought on that, because I think in the future, if we see an assessment coming that maybe would impact MAC property, maybe we start thinking about how we pitch the benefit piece of it. Maybe we do traffic counts. Maybe we do, I don't know, you know, something to help demonstrate ahead of time. So when we do the assessment, there's an extra little process you're supposed to go through, a determining level of benefit, and then you give them so many days notice and they have an opportunity to respond. So I would think, I've never done this, but I mean, we could package together, here's what we're thinking is benefit and here's what supports that determination. We've looked at it and here are the items of benefit, like you were saying, the utility lines and whatever else we could.
Oh, water.
Right.
I mean, if we're putting water into it, I mean, that becomes, it even sidesteps the traffic piece of it. Right.
The only difference there is we own up to usually the curb stop, or if once it crosses on a private property, we stop ownership. So usually our work only goes up to the property line. Again, I don't think that changes the argument, but just for perspective, keep them.
Yeah.
Troy's eternal optimist here. I would say they would say, thank you very much. Yep. Our benefit's zero. Have a nice day. Is how that conversation was. It might take them 5 years to get back to us, but that would be the gist of the conversation.
So the assessments were for redoing Douglas in 60th.
Yeah. So basically when you look at that phase 16 reconstruction,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I still defend what we did, because had I had to look at all the properties in the area and say, yeah, you all are getting this $8,000 to $10,000 assessment, but don't worry, the airport's not, you know, I think that would have not gone over well. Either. And so that's why I think we are, and that was one of the arguments to them, is look, we're fair and consistent in the approach. The rate they are assessed is the same rate we do commercial or multifamily non-housing, right? It's consistent, which is actually, when you look at some of the stuff, that's one of the things in the federal rules. That's one of the things they call out, is basically, are you trying to target the airport? And we're like, no. I mean, clearly look at this. And so I think that went well for us. It doesn't matter, but I stand by the approach we took as being consistent, not only for the airport, but all of our residents over the 22 years of the projects.
So any justification I'm thinking of is already justification for this one. Essentially, yeah. And that's getting the big no, unless we want to have a good legal battle. Anybody else?
Yeah. I got just a few questions. So basically we're short 380,000. Like, is that a way to think about it? Or how can I think about, like, if they didn't pay, where does
they haven't paid? That's kind of my question. I don't know how that shows up. Yeah, like, that's my question.
Well, it would be part of the project cost.
I understand that, but
16.
Oh.
But from a cost, yes, but from the revenue side of that, how?
It's probably an outstanding assessment.
Yes, that's where
it's already been levied.
Yeah.
And so that's why, to Troy's point, the council has to take affirmative action to get rid of those charges, take them out of, so they're not a receivable anymore, essentially.
And there's nothing we can do on the fee side, because it has to be equal. And
by fee, you mean like utility rate stuff?
Yeah.
Not retroactively, no. Well,
not retroactively moving forward.
I would keep this in mind as you look at.
I think if we had a, you know, we don't like the MAC bump on
something. It wouldn't be that late.
That's how they would view it, though.
Well, right.
Airport assessment.
Wow.
Maybe an unpopular thought here, but what benefit does the airport have for us? I'm just saying that from an aspect of, what benefit does the airport bring to the city?
For the city, for the business, or for the citizens? I mean,
all across. And I think that's a valid question, probably for me, for my line of thinking, because. Yeah, I guess that would answer kind of my next thoughts. Like, what is the benefit of the airport for the Crystal residents in the city of Crystal?
I think we should keep that can of worms solidly closed.
Okay, that's just, I'll just be frank. Maybe my ignorance or whatever. I'm okay with that. But, you know, I mean, it's, I have to justify for me, this is my thought process to justify, okay, basically we are putting back onto the taxpayers 300 and X amount of dollars, right? They don't pay any taxes. They don't do anything. So then what is then is the benefit for the citizen? And so, and that's where my mind is going, you know, with that. So, I mean, that may be wrong, right or wrong. That's just, I'm thinking, well, we have this big dollar amount. Okay, where is the cost benefit?
I think the story that's been laid out is the benefit for the citizens in this particular case is they won't have to pay legal fees.
Well, in this case.
I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, that's the benefit right now.
That's
so we're looking at lawyers from Hennepin County. We're looking at lawyers from Crystal. And everybody's going, not going to happen. So that's one of the stop the bleeding votes.
Well, no, but okay, that's in that instance. I'm talking about big picture here, talking about, right? Like, so you're saying, so the MAC can just do whatever the heck they want to do. Sorry, I'm a little edgy, I guess, today, right? They can do whatever they want to do, and there's nothing, you know, I mean, that the city can't do anything about it. That the city has no authority, no, right? Then what's, I don't like that feeling, that positioning, right? Like, we have no control. So there's nothing, you're saying basically there's nothing that
I don't know.
They can do whatever they want.
Service on Douglas, you know, and have everything go to the west, northwest.
And I know you're saying keep that can of worms closed, but I'm just trying to justify. I'm just trying to have some justification here.
Mr. Mayor, and council, I mean, maybe this is pie in the sky too, but I mean, they're pointing to a statute that says we have this right. So, yep. I mean, you can try to change the statute to say at a minimum, you have to pay something, or these are the factors that must be considered, because they frankly are there. There's nothing that they just have these factors that they came up with that they apply. You know, there's no sort of checking the arithmetic on that. So, you know, so you could have an amendment to the statute that would hem that in a little bit.
So. And that's the state statute.
So that would be getting our state legislature
exactly
involved.
Just put that on
the legislative priorities. Yeah.
And I will say, having read the federal regulations on this, I think the federal supports, within reason, assessing. So it's really the hangup appears to be, as far as I could tell, at the state
level. Well, we could use that federal as
right.
as the higher authority.
Some leverage.
That's not a bad idea.
I think that's real.
I mean, that's what I did with the state auditor on the retirement thing for chiefs. If they passed, I took the federal, applied that, and they go, oh, you know, okay, worth a shot.
All right.
Anybody else? Anything else? Is that the route we want to kind of go? Legislatives.
Otherwise, the 380,000 total. Is that come back to the taxpayer?
It does.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, I would say really, it comes back. It's just.
It's a delay in a new
you
project. Look at what it comes down.
Yeah, the street maintenance money, like, well, deduct $300,000 from that fund balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is, I think it's you put how much into a year? Is it 300 put in a year from property tax? That was proposed for next year?
A little less.
Yeah. So we'll just say it.
Close. Yeah.
About a year. It's about a year's dedication of property tax now subsidizing MAC, let's just say.
Yeah.
Okay.
That gives me heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Mayor and Council, then I'm hearing consensus to bring back the resolution. Not saying that we like it.
You're hearing reluctant.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. I just want to be clear. Thank you.
All right.
So for the record, we're subsidizing the airport for what benefit? I think that's a question that really has to be asked. Maybe I know Mark said, let's not open that can of worms, but I mean, and maybe that's something in the conversation and dealing with as far as from a legislative, you know, perspective and going that route. You know, I am a big proponent of, you know, of local control. I think federal government has too much power. I think the state has too much power, right? And clearly in this position, we as a city are, you know, handcuffed
powerless,
you know, powerless when that's something that should be clearly within our delegated authority to be able to, you know, provide basic services and to be able to assess for it. But basically, we're given the middle finger. So,
well, I mean, we had the same thing with the railroads.
Yeah. Same thing.
And the answer was accomplished legislatively. And that's how we have to approach this one. I mean, I don't think there's anybody on this council that really wants to do this. But at the environment we're in, we're not left with a choice unless we want to risk spending more money from the.
I think I've had my fair share of lawsuits.
Yeah, you and I both. All right.
Thank you.
Yep. Fence Consortium. Hi, Chief.
Hi, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Good.
Good. Council, thanks for having me tonight. I'll try to be quick and brief with Mark, but Mark is the big brains of this operation, so he's the one who's going to finish it off for us. But to start, just so everyone knows, I'm sure you read the lovely 2.25 page memo along with the JPA and other documents that were attached. In short, yeah, right? I get it. Totally.
I actually did.
Mark and I will do a good job at condensing all of it. But in short, after the civil arrests occurred both in Minneapolis and in Brooklyn Center, the Hennepin Chiefs of Police Association got together and decided, you know, we really should discuss what it is that we can do to not only allow peaceful protesting, but also protecting our infrastructures in our cities. And so we looked towards asking Mark Ray to look at fencing and how that would work for us as far as some type of consortium for Hennepin countywide. So I'll turn it over to Mark.
So a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. No. So the chief reached out and said, hey, you know, what would this look like? Go forth. And so basically what we did is over the course of, let's say, 6 months, we met with the Secret Service, met with Metropolitan Air Force Commission, operations people, which are different than the planning people that are in the conversation we just had, because they're in the fencing business. And so we learned a lot about fencing. We then met with 4 different vendors that have worked primarily with the Secret Service on fencing to really learn about the different types. And I've never realized there was so much variety in fencing. The short answer is it's very super duper expensive. And the nearest vendor is located in Chicago, of the 2 different products. And so if something were to happen and we made the call, it's coming from Chicago on truck. And so there's a whole bunch of assumptions that go into that, right? Does the vendor have it available? Is there trucking? Is there labor to set it up? And then if you're trucking, is it winter? You know, kind of all just are the roads open and all that good stuff. And so through the process, it became pretty clear that having something here in the metro is probably a better fit. And we looked at initially kind of doing a consortium with Hennepin Chiefs, or I guess really just Hennepin agencies. That was very expensive. And the probability of an incident happening too, you're trying to balance cost and probability. And so based on the feedback I got, it was, hey, we should potentially open this up, try to bring the cost down. Well, I proposed we'd open it up to try to bring the cost down because that was a concern. And so working with Troy, basically where this is at now is we have a framework for a consortium, a fencing consortium that makes anti-scale fencing. It'd be stored. We, the consortium, would contract with a vendor to store fencing enough to cover the largest PD within the consortium. Here in the metro, they need to have it responded and deployed out within 8 hours. Hopefully it'd be quicker than that, but again, that was a cost balance we had to make, because if you get quicker, then they basically have to pay somebody to sit here all the time, which is very expensive. We'd use public works labor to set up the fence. The local chief would be responsible for providing security and operational support. So it's not like, you know, we're coming in and taking over stuff. What I tell people is we're literally just there to put up a fence and leave. So that's kind of the high level model of what's structured here. Currently, as of last Friday, 22 agencies have formally joined the consortium. There's another roughly half dozen looking at it now in September.
What are the standards of scene being safe before Public Works comes in?
Well, so ideally, it's a quick enough response we can get there before things escalate. That's one of the things we were trying. You know, if something happens, a lot of activities at the scene of the incident, maybe we can get in quick and do it. Otherwise, I would want it to at least a few blocks away, because what we don't want is to be another thing that the police have to deal with providing security for.
we would most likely probably have the public works deployed during the middle of the night is probably when it would happen.
So 3-4 o'clock.
Correct. And that's one of the other reasons of using public works staff is so we can, you're not paying to have a contractor sit waiting for 3 and roll around. We just say, hey, we will meet you at this time and go do it.
We don't have, go ahead.
So who all kind of, did you came up with this framework? Or
it was the dream team here came up with it.
Yeah.
I know, I was thoroughly impressed. I mean, when you said we, and I was like, oh yeah, we do have some of the best in the business. I knew that already, but that's a compliment.
Thank you. It was a team effort.
And we don't know cost estimates. We don't really know what that's going to look like yet.
So based on the preliminary numbers, it was $8,000-ish a year. And then if the fence goes up, there's a deployment charge on top of that. But basically, let's say your annual cost around $8,000 a year. That said, until we award a contract, I've been working with the vendors, so I feel good about the numbers, but metal prices are ridiculous right now. And so there is some variability there. However, the relief valve in there is if we go out and we get quotes from the vendors and it's some ridiculous number, the board doesn't have to approve the contract. And I will tell you right now, you know, if it's way out of line of estimates, you know, they work for like, they're not going to just go forward anyway, because they're accountable to their elected officials as well.
You know, going through the agreement, I thought it was pretty well thought out, you know, in terms of having the largest area to protect as on site with warehouse. Thought that was outstanding. I guess the only thing I'm wondering, and hopefully it's just it's a snap in time of what we're dealing with now with supply chain stuff. Could that get worse? And if it does get worse, should we be expanding that warehouse thing? And what does that look like?
So this past year, we went to the state to ask for $5 million for funding to buy basically 10,000 feet of fencing, which is, let's just say, 3 times what's kind of currently what we're looking at. We're going to go again next year. We had bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate for this. As you know, a lot of public safety things weren't passed at all this past session. This was included in that. So the concept of exactly that, Mayor, is if we get the $5 million, because if we, the consortium, can buy the fence and we'll still contract with a vendor to store it and maintain it, what that does is then the cost to join goes way down, because that annual amount we pay that's availability for the fencing is now removed. So that cost will be reduced by at least half, which will remove the barrier of entry to a lot of smaller agencies. I mean, I know a few were like, hey, I realize it's $4,000 a year or whatever. We can't afford that right now. So that'll remove the barrier. So we're going to see more agencies join, which is great, but then potentially there's more doors where the fence needs to go. And so that's why we're trying to strike a balance of, you know, what's a reasonable inventory to maintain with, hey, if you call, are we going to have product to meet the need?
So when does the state take us over? Have we thought about that? I mean, if we get too much state money, are we going to put that anonymity in jeopardy?
What do you mean by that, Mayor?
Maybe I should use different words.
I was,
you know, talking about local control. You know, we can come and go with some, you know, obviously consequences. And if we're getting a lot of state money and it reduces, you know, basically our operations moving forward, when does the state at some point say, okay, we've given you $5 million for this year, whatever. And they say, you know, maybe we should be just taking this over and providing that for all cities. Is that a possibility?
Taking over the fencing, you mean?
Yeah, taking over the fencing and funding it and at the state level as opposed to.
Well, to be frank, I'd be completely okay with that if they're going to provide fencing. I mean, it's so costly, right? And if they're willing to pay the money to which quite frankly, in my opinion, they should. They should pay the money for all of these municipalities to have a safe and secure, and for the protesters to be able to civilly protest. So they should pay for it.
But there's an awful lot of other cities that would resist that because they're not in a metro area.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, again, they're financing, outstate's financing metro area.
Yeah.
So back to local control. I like this model.
So our ask is a one-time ask of $5 million. And then the consortium it's a one-time ask of $5 million to build up the inventory. And then
you kind of indicated that maybe we would go back again and
ask. With the structure. No.
No, we're going back again because they said no. They said no
once. Okay. We don't take no for an answer. So we're going to go back.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a one-time ask to build it up. And then there's some ideas for how we basically create a revenue stream moving forward.
That's okay. So you know how I got there now.
Yep.
How's that? Yeah. All right.
When you say consortium, are you talking about other cities that would do this? So maybe you can speak to this, Chief. What are the other cities around here doing, like New Hope or Robbinsdale?
So I don't have the list in front of me of the 22 Hennepin cities that are involved, or not 22, but not all of them have gone to their city councils yet to decide whether or not they're going to move forward in the consortium. So I think New Hope and Robbinsdale have not approached their councils yet.
But are most cities thinking, when you say 22 cities, they're all suburban Hennepin County cities?
Not all of them.
Not all of them. No. Hold on, pulling up here.
Some of them are Ramsey County.
Okay.
Some are Washington.
And the thinking is that this is something that we need to have ready? Or, I don't know. It just seems like an awful lot of dollars spent for something that we probably will never use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you ask me, do I think that this is going to happen in the city of Crystal? My answer would be most likely not, right? I mean, it would be most likely not that would happen here. With that said, we have had two protests here since I've been police chief, not major protests, but you know, we have had protests. Do I believe that in the next 10 years that we're going to see anything like Brooklyn Center, Minneapolis? No. However, it's possible, right? I can't predict the future, but do I believe it's going to happen again within a very short period of time? Most likely not.
Okay.
I think the thing to note too is that the intent of this is just it's a critical incident. Like you talked about on the public works side, is you know, if a kid was playing in a snowbank and got hit with a plow, and there was some factor, you know, that could result in, you know, again, it's not necessarily just an off-the-wall shooting. It could be a critical incident. I had a question of what if a PD was hit by a tornado and he needed something quick to secure it? You know, this could be a measure for that too. So those are things being looked at too as potential avenues, because as the chief said, I mean, we hope it's never used.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, it's a form of insurance, and I assume that a critical incident like this isn't covered under any of our insurance, is that correct?
Well, I think it would be, but it always falls to us, the city, to make sure that the supplies are brought in, and then we can make claims after that.
Yes, so the cost is kind of irrelevant when you're talking about deployment.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. I personally like this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you
I personally like this. Because it's not a lot of money. And I have a way less optimistic viewpoint than the chief has, or probably many of you have, on whether this is coming back in the metro. I truly believe it will come back in the metro. It's just waiting for the right time.
Well, start getting optimistic, Mr. Mayor.
It'd be great. I mean, if you want me to be optimistic and say no to this, I can do that. I'm not there. I'm just not. Nancy.
So when this incident happened in Brooklyn Center, and I remember seeing the tall chain link panels put around the unit, where did that come from?
Chicago.
Came from Chicago?
Yeah, uh-huh. You're talking about the chain link second and barriers?
Yeah. When
that came from a local vendor.
Okay.
But the second fence came from Chicago.
Okay. And then for, say, Hennepin County Courthouse during the trial, Chauvin's trial, where did that fencing come from?
That came from Chicago
same
also.
Same vendor.
Same one. Okay. Because I remember driving by it.
Looked like a war base.
It did. Razor wire and everything. Okay. Is that kind of what this fencing would be like?
It's a non-scalable fence, just like it was in Brooklyn Center.
Okay. Okay. So it helps to visualize.
There's two different looks. Mm-hmm. Bed is one of the vendors, and there's another one's more diamond shaped, I guess, is the way I would describe it.
Okay. Yeah, I do like the fact that it's portable and usable around the metro, and if everyone is a stakeholder, I think I'm neutral, actually. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, I was just saying, I think my mindset with anything like this is right where we plan for the worst and hope for the best, right? This is kind of one of those where we don't necessarily want this, you know, to ever have to use it, but in the event, yeah, I'd rather have it and not need it than the need it and not have it type of thing. And then you weigh the cost, you know, that's why like having the mobile field force, right? But you having a group, you know, think of something specific to be able to, you know, help each other out, you know, there's other cities. And the same thing when we have like the joint powers or agreement for like public works and other different things where we're kind of pooling our resources so that it's not all in one city. Something that needs to be in effect. So I'm all for it.
And please note, please hear me correctly. I'm all about fencing. This is what de-escalated the entire situation in Brooklyn Center. That's why we came up with that idea, is to fence that whole area. But so I just want to make sure you hear me on that. The cost factor for me is for something that we may not ever need, I struggle with. Now, again, I think we need it. I think that eventually, possibly, we might need it, but we may not, right? So it is an insurance. How Mark sold it to me was an insurance thing, right? When we asked Mark to go forth, because he has much bigger brains than us police chiefs to look into this, he told me that this was an insurance deal, right? Mm-hmm. And I look at it as, well, we already pay insurance so that if this building, God forbid, something were to happen for it, we'd pay a $25,000 deductible and get it taken care of, right? Now we're asking you to pay $8,000 a year for us to potentially, right, to store a fence for something that we potentially may need in the future. So it's just, it's what you feel comfortable with is what I'm trying to say. For me and for Mark, it doesn't matter what you decide. We're here presenting the information to you, trying to figure out what is best for our community.
Do we know, it's about deployment. It's about timing more than anything.
So the timing
that you can't do through insurance.
Right. So in Brooklyn Center, so Mark is saying that we've been told that it could be deployed in 8 hours, right? From the time we make that call. In Brooklyn Center, I believe it was 12 to 15
hours.
Depends
on how you dice it.
About 12 to 14 hours or so from the time they made the call.
I would tell you it was 24 to 36.
And I disagree. I disagree with him on that. That is not true.
Had to come from Chicago.
No.
Right? So, or they already had it. They already had some support.
It depends on
the when you talk about the timing of the call to the actual signing of the contract to the actual getting it there.
Right.
Right. I think there was some missteps along the way that potentially could have.
So a verbal was given and then it was followed up with a written. So to the chief's point is, when do you start the clock on what the response? Was it with the verbal okay or the written contract?
Interesting. Does anybody need more information? Okay. You guys, yes, no, maybe.
Yep. Nancy, it's like neutral. Oh,
yeah. I mean, that's plan. We see the benefits, right. And I see both sides. I'm not heavily leaning either way right now.
I do want to say that. I mean, it's brilliant and it's perfect. I mean, like, yeah. Really exciting to see, this come forward, especially from you guys.
You know,
which is so. But I have thoughts that are.
I have those same thoughts, and you know, right now the political climate drives that, and it's not getting any better from the federal level, and until we get out away from this type of behavior where we're at, I mean, I could see it de-escalating in a number of years.
Well, I think to the chief's point, the fence was, you know, for anybody that's on one, you know, one way or another, the fence, right? It was a huge de-escalation piece to, you know, to what would have been greater civil unrest, mm-hmm. Because now you have a fence there instead of having uniform police presence there. And so not just more greater safety of not just the officers, but for the protesters being able to have, you know, that right. And to be have in a safe space for them to be angry, you know, and for tensions to not continue to bubble over to see what took place in the city of Minneapolis. I think that right there in and of itself.
I'm with you. I think you're right on. Nancy,
just a quick question. Would Minneapolis be part of this consortium?
No.
They have expressed no, actually both Minneapolis and Hennepin County have expressed no interest, and we're good with that.
Yep.
Well, after third precinct, huh? Okay.
The other, I mean, they're better. The other challenge is just their structure is so different.
Yes, that's a good point.
Yeah. So they have multiple police stations.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm seeing three nods and four nods now, five nods now, and
I can't commit. I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes. I don't think it's necessary in the city of Crystal. But I'm willing to listen.
Okay. Yeah, and make sure we read the information that we have in front of us and try to digest it. So we do actually have a consensus.
Okay, so we'll move forward with the JPA then.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Get the questions lined up that you need, Therese, and we'll go from there.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. I am going to continue the balance. It will go quick afterwards. I just want to take a minute before we get started. So we'll continue the rest of this after the meeting, after the council meeting. So at this time, I will revisit the work session. We just had the last couple items to go, which usually are very quick. How'd I end up with EDA? There we go. The one with the tag on it. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Constituent updates.
The only one on there is 32nd Avenue, the crossing. And now, let's see, what is it? The county is working on getting power to the signal and then figuring out the agreement, right?
We're working on the design, so we know where the power is coming from. As part of the Three Rivers Trail project, we put in conduit in anticipation of maybe a future day this going in. So we need to find the conduit and then design it, basically. And then they'll work on the agreement. I'll work on getting contractors to get quotes. And to be honest, I think we're looking at next year for construction, probably just with the time of year it is right now.
Okay.
And it's going to be a blinking light, right? It's not going to be a traffic light?
Correct. It's going to be very similar to the system at 36 and Welcome is the best comparison to have. So it'll be a push button. The boxes will start flashing and it'll be a yellow light or an amber light. No, they're correct. There's no traffic stop.
They're not, the vehicle traffic is not required to stop.
Well, technically, you all know pedestrians and crosswalks are required to yield.
Well, true. Okay. Yeah.
There's a great dinosaur video released on the very top end.
Put your foot out.
That's it. Put your foot out. Make eye contact with the driver.
Which is very hard in a sweaty dinosaur suit. But anyway.
All right. Anything else on constituents? New business?
Where are we? We haven't seen any of the applications for the DEI commission.
Oh, it's Monday. Monday night.
Well, when are we going to see the applications?
Friday.
No. PAC will come up Friday.
Okay. I think we need another perspective from the one we got from Peter Bell that was so one-sided. And I just think we need to look at this a little more broadly before we actually I'm not sure. I'm just upset with the way that went with Peter Bell. That was just so biased, and in my view, it's not what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Dr. Omar, right? Is that his name?
Yeah, Dr. Omar.
He presented the second. He presented the other side.
No, he did not, didn't. He actually was here and said slavery was not caused by racism. It was a function of economics. He actually said racism was not part of the slave trade.
So just so you know, that whole thing was supposed to be two separate sides.
It was not two separate sides.
Okay, I heard you. I heard you. I'm in the process of a sentence. Quite honestly, that is a side that was supposed to be the balance of what we've already discussed and what we already had conversation out. So that's the first time that view has even been expressed in the city council or any of our meetings or any consultants or anything. So that was the balance compared to what was said before that.
After the establishment of the commission, which happened what, in May, April, May? So this, what came after that, was, so what was the balance? There was nothing after the establishment of the commission.
Well, you can come up with an arbitrary time to say, well, since this period of time, and we've been talking about it for 4 years. We've been talking about equity for 4 years. And a lot of this has been what I would consider the more liberal or leftist perspective. And there was never anywhere along the line any conversation or anything relating to a more conservative viewpoint until that, till Bell came in. So I look at Bell as the answer to what happened all prior to that.
Why was there a need for an answer? Why did we need an answer to?
Well, I don't know. Why do you think you need another?
Because
it's unbalanced.
It's very unbalanced.
That was a goal, to try to make things balanced. I think we're making the same argument.
Pendulum swaying way too far to the other side. I think we need a little rounder, broader perspective before we approach who is going to serve on this commission.
I totally disagree.
I feel very strongly about this. I was very upset with what Dr. Abdul and Mr. Bell had to say that night. I think the way they approached it was making this commission is setting it up to drive itself into the ground. And that's absolutely what I don't want to see happen.
I never got that impression.
Either. We have the commission bylaws that we voted on. So I'm assuming that the bylaws that were created are guiding our commission, not any other discussion that we might have for our own perspective, our own intellectual and intelligent conversation. So the bylaws are established, and that's what's driving the applicants and whatever the commission's going to do. So then that's my understanding.
Okay. So what was the purpose of 2 hours just for them?
Conversation preventing for council. Just, I thought it was just for my information. I wrote down their recommendations. I thought it was interesting, food for thought, in context of our conversation recently.
It was very interesting, but from a very, very biased, narrow point of view. And that was what made it interesting. I don't really think what they had to say that night was all that interesting. It was way, way, way too biased. And I think we need a broader perspective before we pick applicants or pick commissioners for the new commission.
Brendan?
So I guess kind of my thoughts, you know, on it, so I can and listen to it. Like, I mean, kind of regardless of what they said has no effect on the bylaws or what we have, the work that we've already put in and established. It has zero effect on it. And I would agree what you said, what is the point of having that? It's not directly correlated to what the commission has anything to do with, as it's in respect to, we already went through and established what the parameters for the commission is to operate and work in. And, you know, and we still haven't even, you know, once we see who the applicants are, we don't know how many people have applied, what, you know, what, group, you know, what is that? What is the group even going to look like? But still, that it's almost like it's, while linked, it still has nothing to do with the establishment of the commission.
And what was the point?
Oh, I agree with you on where you feel with that, but it has, it still has nothing to do with the direction or the, you know, the guidelines of the parameters of the group.
Can I ask you, Anne, how many people have applied?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I said that in the email setting that next Monday's meeting. 10.
And yes. There will be 7 commissioners? 5?
Yes, I believe the bylaws called for 7.
Correct.
We have scheduled 8. Is that correct?
8 of the 10 have agreed. Now, I didn't check in with Chi that if we, I was trying to get all 10 of them so you could see all 10 of them at one time. It would be easier to make a determination.
Yep. Okay. And I have a question for you, Mayor. Have you ever been liaison to a commission in your time as mayor?
I have not.
Explain to me.
Hold on. I am part of the CMC.
So explain to me why you want to be the liaison for this commission. You've never done it before.
I think I'm capable.
But you've never done it before. So what's your interest now?
I honestly took the recommendation of city manager.
I suggested it. It's a city commission. This is launching that. I think it's important that the mayor, I should speak up. I think it's important that the mayor is a liaison to the commission to at least get it launched. After that, then I think it's up to the rest of the council.
I completely disagree with the mayor as the liaison to this commission. He has said openly that he doesn't think we need this commission. So why do you want to be on a commission or a liaison?
Hold on. Let's not put words in my mouth. I said it needed to be, had to have some changes, and we put in some changes to make it more comprehensive. Right. So that's what it was.
Yeah, but the fact that you've never served on a commission during your third term as mayor, correct?
That doesn't disqualify me.
I'm not saying you're disqualified or qualified. That's not
what's
what
your point
saying.
Then?
So you're in your third term, correct?
It's like, what did Robbinsdale do or what did New Hope do? That's not rational reasoning. That's just, it's arbitrary reasoning.
We're not talking about Robbinsdale or New Hope.
Well, there's a tendency, and I heard it from you tonight, well, what did the other cities do? Well, it's a curious question, but it's not anything to base anything based on what this council wants. And you're using a similar argument. You've never been a liaison, so why now?
So you still haven't answered my question. You're in your third term, correct?
What are you getting at?
Wait, so why now do you want to be liaison to this commission that you didn't want established in the first place? That's where I have a big problem, Mr. Mayor.
Because you've rephrased it. You're saying I didn't want it. I didn't want it in the form that it was in?
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
It was a unanimous vote that we took on this commission. So we unanimously voted to approve it. So saying that the mayor doesn't want it, I mean, he would have voted against it. So I think we worked very hard on the bylaws, and what will be guiding this commission, not anything else, not any other conversation that may take place here with whatever speakers that may come in. It's the bylaws and descriptions that we've adopted that will be guiding the, you know, the whole project. So I don't see a problem with the mayor serving as he has with the MAC and in many other capacities as well.
I'm not saying that he hasn't, you have not done work, you have worked with other groups within the city. You've just never been a liaison to one of the commissions. And I have a real problem with you being a liaison to this commission because you were so opposed to it. And the many, many conversations we've had about it, I just don't think you're the appropriate liaison.
Ah, there it is. Got it. Okay. We got it.
Okay.
Nancy, go ahead.
Just a quick point. I know that it's the mayor's discretion to appoint liaisons. And right now we are all appointed to a commission, correct?
Correct.
So to me, it makes sense for this first term, for this first cycle, to have the mayor here as a commission liaison. He's got it. To me, it just, I don't have an issue. I think that the mayor is here, actually, it shows the importance of this commission because you have the mayor there. And I think there's a lot of investment there. I think there's an opportunity to learn here, both all sides of a conversation. I think this is a tremendous learning experience for all of us. What I'd like to see, though, is that, you know, how we talked about things that are talked about, say, in a planning commission or other commissions that don't necessarily make it to us. You know, we had that conversation.
Yeah, we've had it numerous times.
Numerous times. I think it's a great opportunity now for us to hear feedback. What happened at this? Maybe we all attend this first meeting. I don't know. Not as a requirement, just a suggestion to show our interest in the success of this commission.
All right. Anything more on that? New business, other new business. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, the city manager profile, was that on the discussion for the tonight or just
that was on the consent?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I saw it in the packet. I went, are we discussing that? No, never mind. Oh.
Did you have anything that needed discussing? If you do.
No, I put my suggestions to.
And I can mark.
Okay, great. Made
them. Yep.
Good. All right. I asked our city manager to take a look at possibly coming up with a acceleration of the lights over at Becker Park for the pickleball. They're still not functioning. So it's kind of new business. I just wanted you guys to be aware that that may be in the works, might be pushing something else off. I just thought it was kind of, it would be, if they worked, it'd be one thing, but the lights aren't even operational right now. So it's,
they worked for about a half hour.
Well and then they are supposed to go off after half an hour and then you have to press the button again.
Oh, that's, it's a timer thing. Okay, sorry.
Yes. But yes, they are in the budget for next year. So whether they can be accelerated to this year or not.
Yeah, when they go off, it takes 20 minutes for them to come back on. So it stops. Yeah. I didn't know that piece. You didn't tell me that piece. You didn't know it. Okay.
I didn't know it.
That's fair. All right. Anything else? New business? Announcements we handled during the council meeting, unless somebody's got something new. Seeing nothing, we are adjourned.